Yo, what's going on out there? This is Level Up with Ryan Hodge. I want to thank everybody for tuning in today. We got another great episode for you all out there. Hopefully we learn something, find out some new info, whatever you want to call it, but that's what we're here for. We're going to level up. Hey, but before we do, we want to shout out Hindsight Media Radio for putting this whole thing together. Also, I need you to log into RyanHodgeBooks.com and check out some of my novels. There's 9 of them up there. A little bit of something for everybody. And if you can't find something for yourself, hey, maybe you'll phone a friend. And maybe there'll be something up there for them. Either way, we're going to get to the show in a sec. Later. Before we start today's episode, I just want to say I hope everybody's in a good headspace. Hope your finances are good. And if they're not good, I hope you're working towards getting them good. You know, maybe something that you can change in your life that'll help them get there. But let's get to the show. Today's show is actually a real important topic. It's about police interaction, not police interaction with one another, because who really cares about how they interact with one another? Actually, today's topic is about how the police interact with us and how we interact with them. Before we dive into the topic at hand of police interaction, I want to just share a quote. It's extremely short. It's actually only 2 words worth of shortness, but extremely powerful. 2 words, powerful in a mug, though. So dig. The quote actually comes from my mom. She used to always tell me and my siblings whenever we left the house to be safe. So be safe. That's fairly simple, one might think, but it's actually loaded. I say it's a loaded statement because it's highly, highly impactful. Because if your thought process for the night or the day that you're trafficking the streets is to be safe, those 2 words will govern everything you do. For example, let's say you're going to spend your night, your Saturday night or Friday night, out at a party. Now, before you go to the party, you log on to social media and you find out that at that party, it's going to be some fights. 2 rivaling groups are going to meet at the party and they're going to have at it at the party. So now, normal person, maybe you go to the party and say, hey, that's not a part of what I'm a part of, so I'll just go anyway and mind my business. Now, if you flip it and think about the 2 words, be safe, that my mom dropped into my head. So if I'm being safe, maybe the best bet for me is not to go to this party, because you really can't control the outcome of what's going to happen at this party once you get there. You've already received information that something may go down, so why even put yourself in a possible predicament to have something happen to you? Hey, maybe you'll get lucky and nothing happens, but it's also likely that you could be unlucky and something happens to you at the party just by being in the proximity of the danger that you knew was going to happen or potentially happen. So the phrase be safe for me just means more than just what I'm doing, actually. So it also means to not put myself in harm's way. So be safe means me act accordingly, safely, properly. Also, don't put myself in harm's way, like I just said. And also, the people I'm around, my friends, if I'm in a position to help them not make a bad decision, if I'm being safe, according to my mom's 2 words there, I'm going to make sure that they act accordingly as well, because them being safe is a part of me being safe. I think something that people need to think about before they leave the house or do anything is, what do you plan to accomplish while you're out of the house? So basically, what do you want to fulfill? What do you want to achieve? I don't think you should leave the house haphazardly and not know exactly what's going to go on in your mind anyway. I say in your mind anyway, because we all know that anything can happen when you're trafficking the streets, when you're roaming around. That's out of our control. But again, that's why I'm not speaking to the things that we can't control. But if you're out and about, you should have some sort of goal. What do you want to accomplish? It's going to make your day a little bit easier because your moves while you're out of the house will be more intentional. So again, if you're going to a club or something, it's the same thought process. What do you want to achieve or accomplish while you're at this club or the library or work? Doesn't matter where it is. You should always have a thought process of what do you want to happen while you're here. So I tie this back to my mom's 2 words of be safe. And we're going to tie this into police interaction in a quick second. If you've been tuning into my show, you know I have an anecdote for everything. Today is no different, and I have another story to tell to just kind of bring light to what we're talking about with police interaction, being safe, what do you plan to accomplish for the night while you're out and about. So let's start with my story. So the year is like 1999 or 2000, somewhere around there. And me and a bunch of my friends were up on a college in Jersey called King University. Might have been King College at the time, and they got upgraded to university. But either way, we had several friends who went to that university at the time. So it'd be nothing for us to go hang out in the courtyard and just chill on campus and shoot the breeze. The night was going on just like any other night outside the dorms and stuff like that. So we just chilling, laughing, joking. So at the time, there was a summer program that some of the students that went to the university were in that called for them to be in their dorms at a certain time. So now, of course, like I said, we didn't go to the school, but me and my fellas used to hang out at the campus with some other cats who went there. So we just chilling in front of the dorms, and some of the people inside the dorm was motioning us to come in the dorm. Now, that was against the rules, so we didn't make our move initially to go into the dorm. As I said initially, because at some point we decided that we would go in the dorm. Now, the thing is, the dorm was on lockdown, so you couldn't just go in through the front entrance. As luck would have it, some of the dorm's windows were pretty low to the ground, and it was real easy for a person to just go in through the first floor window or even the second floor window, even though the second floor window was a bit more work because you had to be of a certain height just to climb in. As luck would have it, we didn't know anybody who was in the first floor window, so we had to get some of our peoples who were in the second floor windows to let us in. Those windows were a bit higher, so we had to get somebody to leverage us up, pull us up into the window. Now, I'm only about 5'8 in height, so it was real hard for me to get somebody to pull me up, so I fell back for a minute. Now, the other guy who was trying to get into the dorm, he was a bit taller, so it was a bit easier for him to climb into the dorm, so he went first and got somebody to pull him up. Now, here comes the problem. Everything was all good until we saw some bright lights come flashing on the dorm. Needless to say, the flashing bright lights were from the police. They were actually sitting in a couple dip spots and were watching all of the dorm's activities and watching us in front of the dorms. We had no idea because it was such a dark campus and they were sitting in the cut. Several units immediately pounced down on the dorms, lights blaring, jumping out their whips on us. And that was to be expected, but what happened next was something that I didn't expect at all. For whatever reason, the police decided to jump on me. They grabbed me up and slammed me to the ground and put me in cuffs. They stated their reason for putting me in cuffs was because they thought I was the one who tried to slide into the dorm through the window. Boy, were they wrong. As I stated earlier, I hadn't even made it over to the window because the other guy went first. Now, somehow or another, they saw him, thought he was me, which was crazy because he actually was a tall, slender cat who had braids. I'm short. I was slender, but I definitely always have a low blade, a little fade of Brooklyn. So I don't see how the confusion happened. To make matters even worse, out of all of the people who were outside that night, I was actually the only one who got thrown to the ground and was cuffed. I mean, the cop had his knee in my back. The other one had his knee. I'm not going to say it was on my neck, but he definitely had some pressure on my neck. Not like in the case that we've recently seen, but it was a real fiasco, especially when I had done nothing wrong. Now, like I said, I was planning on going into that dorm, but I hadn't made a move yet. While they had me on the ground, they asked me a bunch of questions. They asked me why I was trying to go into the dorm. They ran my pockets and checked me for weapons and all of that good stuff. But the problem was once they found out I didn't have anything on me, they still didn't let me up. They still held me down against my will. Fortunately, after some time of getting ruffled up a little bit, dirty, scuffed up, they finally let me up and took the cuffs off. They did make me leave campus immediately for whatever reason. I still don't quite know, other than, I guess, a case of mistaken identity. Hands down, the cops were in the wrong. They were at fault because, like I said, I hadn't done anything. And they picked the wrong guy. So the question is, how can we learn from this? How can we get better from the experience that I had when interacting with the police? As I always say here at Level Up with Ryan Hodge, the point is not always to just tell a story. We also need to tell stories and then find solutions to the problems that exist in the stories that I tell. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to talk about what did I do right that potentially kept the situation from escalating into something different. The main thing I did right was I complied with whatever they told me to do. Even though I knew they were wrong, I hadn't done anything, I still didn't use that as an excuse to defiant and combative because that would have taken my simple misunderstanding to a whole nother level. In my mind, I started playing out all of the different ways this thing could go. If I resisted, I was thinking like maybe they potentially could beat me up. I mean, they was already going to cuff me, so that was going to happen. But they could have beaten me up, potentially killed me. I could have been taken to jail, and all sorts of other charges could have been filed if I would have just acted defiantly and been combative. But instead, I chose a different route. I immediately relied on what my mom said, be safe. And to me, that means get home, act accordingly. Don't put yourself in harm's way, even if it's with the police, a guy in the street, it doesn't really matter. But if you're going to be safe, that means to do things that's going to help you make it to the next day, the next hour, and get out of a harmful situation unscathed. I knew those cops were wrong by grabbing me up. But one thing I also knew was that I couldn't escalate the situation. I couldn't give them a reason to go further than they were already going. I owe that to myself. It's not even about them. I owe that to myself. I owe that to my mom's teaching. I owe not escalating the situation to my friends. It's just so many different ways you can look at it. But the main thing is I owe that to everybody to not escalate the situation, because I could have ruined everybody's night and potentially altered some lives. Now, someone could contend that that responsibility shouldn't be on me to act accordingly when the police were wrong, but it doesn't really matter if they were wrong or right. What really matters is that I got home safely. So at that point, it's just on me to do what I need to do, because if I don't do what I need to do, they're going to have all the reason in the world to escalate the situation, and it's going to be on me, not them. And let's be clear about the whole situation. The police have the upper hand on the side of the road, or on the front of a campus dorm, or whatever you want to call it, but they're in the wind, because no matter what, they have weapons, they had the numbers, and there's really not much I can do that's going to help my case other than to comply. There are a lot of people out here who seem to think that the best time to fight the case is on the side of the road, and I'm sorry, but you're just mistaken. You are not in the position of authority on the side of the road. The best bet is to just get home safely, get from the side of the road, and maybe live to fight your court and case, because that's where it's going to be won or lost. Honestly, anything you do on the side of the road that's adversarial to what the police is ordering you to do is going to be used against you. That'll be the justification for them to do whatever they want to you. And don't give them that justification. And the truth of the matter is they already don't need much. They don't need much at all to pull us over, lock us up, harass us in any setting that they want. So why give them a leg to stand on when you don't have to give them one? Shoot, we already know that we're a minority in this country. Only about 13%, 15%, depending on what studies you find. Now, with that being said, we're still getting pulled over for driving offenses or driving with no offenses at a higher rate than our white counterparts. So it's obvious that some sort of targeting is going on. There's no other way around it. So black people are being targeted, harassed, profiled. We know all too well the things that are stacked up against us out here. Even when it comes to getting loans for houses or cars, we get a higher rate even with the same credit profile as our counterparts. So we know the injustices are going on. We still just have to navigate through them better. As time goes on, I keep hearing more people say that they're going to resist arrest if what's going on the side of the road isn't right. And my response to that is to be careful, because you're putting your life in harm's way. You may be severely impacting your family's lives going forward, especially if you have kids, or you could leave a grieving mother or father out here. So be careful with that, because we actually don't need more side of the road vigilantes or people who are just going to take the law into their own hands. We actually don't need that. What we do need is more judges. We need more lawyers. We need people who are going to run for office and have our best interests at heart. So if you really want to help the cause of what's going on with the injustices against black people, fighting on the side of the road may have a place here or there. But ultimately, if you want to change some things, we need people in office. Because having people in office will enable us to get justice for the injustices that are committed against us. You fighting on the side of the road is probably going to get you killed. And the people who are in office don't care about you, so they're not even going to have justice for the officer who did it. This is the only way we're going to level up. Like I said, we got problems. We need solutions. And that's what we're talking about here at the Level Up Show with Ryan Hodge. All right, so enough about me talking about police interaction. We actually have another guest on the show this week to give us some insight on just dealing with police on the side of the road or whatever it may be to help us be safe out here. So give us a second. We're going to bring the guest up. All right, so we got our guest on the show today. We got Mel on the show. She's going to give us some insight, the female perspective on dealing with the police on the side of the road. Mel, speak to us for a second. Say hi.
Hello, people. I'm so honored to be here. Thank you very much for having me.
Hey, thanks for coming on and letting us know something. So we're going to get to it. All right, so the topic is police interaction. So Mel, tell us a time, if you have one, where you interacted with the police during a traffic stop or whatever it may be. Let us know.
Absolutely. Yeah, I've been pulled over by the police, and really, it was justified. One time that I can think of was for speeding, and the cop pulled me over, asked me for my license and registration, and I gave him the documents as he requested, answered any questions, and I really just tried to make the process as smooth as possible. I really just want to get out of there and get along with my day. And that's how I think of interactions with the police. Just try to make it as seamless as possible. Just get in and out. I don't want it to be a lengthy process because really it's my time. I want to be very selfish about my time. And the police, you know, they have things that they want to do. I have things that I want to do. And so I look at it for what's in it for me. And what's in it for me is making it home and making it home safely and making it to my destination as quickly as possible.
I definitely feel you on that. One thing you mentioned earlier when you were talking, you said about being seamless. You're looking for a seamless transaction with the police. And I think that's extremely important because when we start having friction on the side of the road is when things can get funny. And you also made a good point when you said to get in and get out. And I'm actually guilty of not getting in and out of a situation with the police when I should have. It was actually my bad because I offered the cop more information than he actually needed to have. So what happened was I got pulled over one night for driving without my seatbelt on. Cop pulls me over, no big deal. But during the stop, he asked me if I drink alcohol. Now, anybody who knows me, they know I don't drink alcohol and never have and hopefully never will. But of course, the cop wouldn't know that. So when I told him I don't drink alcohol, he probably thought I was tripping or even lying, just saying anything to get away from him. So what does he do next? Next, he asked me to get out the car.
I can see how that can happen.
Yeah, I mean, I could too, but of course, the crazy thing is, like I said, it was a seatbelt ticket. So just for a seatbelt ticket, I really didn't need to get out the car. But I did comply with what he asked me to do. So to make my point clear about what you said, I actually offered information that he didn't need to have, which caused me to be with the police officer even longer. Now, the problem with the being with a cop longer than you need to be is because anything can happen in that extra bit of time. So I appreciate you when you say get in and get out. Makes great sense.
Absolutely. I kind of liken it to a winning streak. You know, say you're on a 3-game winning streak. That 4th game, your probability of winning goes way, way down. And so the more time that you spend with the cop, your probability of winning with him goes way, way down.
I like that analogy you just gave us. What you said is extremely important, again, because the more interactions you have with the police, your probability of something happening goes up. So not only do we need to limit our time with the officers, we need to find ways to limit our interactions with them as well. We already know, like I said earlier, that we get pulled over at a higher rate, and even if it's justified or unjustified. But what we need to do a better job of is making sure we're not justified in being pulled over. No broken taillights, no seatbelt infractions. At least if they're going to pull us over, make sure it's because they're just doing what they're not supposed to do as opposed to what they're supposed to do.
Yeah, and another thing too is when they do pull you over, don't try to argue your point on the side of the road. It's not worth it. You're not going to win.
I agree with you on that. And you're definitely not going to win. You're not going to win on the side of the road with this argument. And when they tell you to get out the car, you're better off getting out the car because all that's going to happen is they're going to call 12 other units and they're going to get you out the car anyway. Now, when they get you out the car, it's likely that it's going to be after they beat you up a little bit. So if at the end of the day, you're going to end up out of the car, you might as well get out the car before they put their hands on you.
For sure. Absolutely. I agree with that.
And this is exactly why when I got pulled over by the cop for the seatbelt and he eventually asked me to get out the car, I decided to get out the car. And I knew I hadn't done anything that actually warranted me getting out the car, but it was in my best interest to get out the car. Now, one thing that I didn't meet him with was hostility. Everything was still kind of free flowing in a real compliant and I'll say a friendly nature. But ultimately, I got out the car and I know also that they're not my friend. They're actually the adversary in this situation.
And that's how we have to own each of these engagements with the police, because we have to shape those experiences. If we don't shape them, the police will shape them for us.
Right. We definitely need to take control of the situation as best we can. One thing we don't know is what the officer's intentions are, so we need to be mindful of that. If we give the person a leg to stand on to beat us down, they may just do that. One thing I always find funny is how people feel like we shouldn't have to train each other or our kids on how to interact with the police. And they feel like the police should be the ones who get trained on how to interact with us. I can agree with that to some degree, but ultimately, if we're the ones ending up dying on the side of the road during a police interaction, I think we're the ones who should train each other on how to interact with them, since we're the ones getting killed. Let's look at it like this. Parents train their kids on how to behave in public settings. Let's just say the parent takes their kid to the grocery store. What do they tell their kids? Don't touch this. Don't run in the store. Don't be loud. Whatever the teaching is, in that situation, the parent wants the child to behave a certain way. Mm-hmm. So they teach him and train him on how to react in a certain situation. Now, in this situation where our lives are at stake, a lot of people are saying, we shouldn't have to be trained. I'm not going to train my kid on how to respond. But why wouldn't you?
You have to. I actually was just having a conversation with my nephew. He is 5'11 and a little over 300 pounds. So you can imagine, you know, the first time you look at him, he is a big guy. He's 18 years old. He's a young man. And the police, when they see him, they would be afraid of him. And we had a conversation about if he's ever stopped by the police, that he has to comply and not give any pushback, not be aggressive in any manner, because they are immediately going to be afraid of him just purely because he's a black male and his size, and they cannot beat him physically. And so their natural reaction is going to be that of aggression. They're going to tase him or shoot. And I do not want my nephew to be harmed. So yeah, we have to teach our young men and our women too, but especially our young black men, how to engage with the police.
Shoot, I'm scared of your nephew just hearing about how big he is. No, but seriously, but with the way the world is set up, I mean, a big guy is definitely intimidating, and they'll call more units on the scene just in case it gets out of hand. And nobody wants to tussle with a big fella. So you're right about that. Force will be taken immediately because they want to make it home to their family members. And that's why they have the training they have. So they're trained for certain situations. So why not train ourselves for certain situations? Another thing about training is that it can actually help you calm down in certain situations. So what type of training am I talking about? I mean, like role playing at the house. You got your kids at the house with you. You can actually do role playing activities at the house with your kids. Different scenarios of getting pulled over. Maybe you'll have a cop yelling at him or him yelling at the cop. And everybody has a role to play. What that can do is ease tension, because now the kid has played out the scenario over and over again. And you never know. Just 10% of information may help save somebody's life on the side of the road.
That's a great idea.
Hey, that's what we're here for. We're dropping knowledge on how to get better, be better. That's what Level Up with Ryan Hodge is all about. So Mel, before you go, I want you to speak to us about hostility. We talked about it off air, but bring it to the people what you made mention of.
Absolutely. Just talking about remaining calm under hostile conditions, because we talked about just being pulled over by the police and complying with their commands and requests, but I know that it's hard to do so under hostile conditions, but we have to not meet hostility with hostility.
And why is that?
Because it's not going to end well for anyone. And they're in an authoritative position. They have the upper hand. And that means that we, as the civilians, are going to be on the losing end of that. So if we want to come out on the quote-unquote winning end, which means that we come home to our loved ones, we're the ones that have to remain level-headed. And that means that we have to do whatever it is that we need to do to get into a mental space to get through the situation. whether that is to count to 10 or sing the ABCs or whatever is needed to de-escalate the situation.
I know it's bugged out that the civilian has to de-escalate the situation, but again, we don't have the upper hand. And it, like I said earlier, we need to get the lawyers, we need to get judges on our side. We need to get judges of our own people on our side, is what I should say. But I also want to speak to that hostility point. Just in everyday life, this is for everybody listening. What tends to happen if you meet somebody with hostility? In most cases, when you meet someone with hostility, they give it back to you. So that's exactly what's going to happen on the side of the road. If the cop pulls up and is friendly at the beginning, and then you meet the cop with hostility because you're pissed off, guess what? You're going to get it right back at you. And it's not in your favor. So try your best to calm your nerves. Counting to 10, that's a good idea. Anything that may calm your nerves in that situation. So Mel, do you have anything lastly that you want to leave us with? The floor is all yours, so give it to us.
Spend a few $100 for the ticket or car getting towed versus spending a few $1,000 for a funeral. It's worth it. We want you to come home. And men, we need you. We need you to set the example for our young people. Strive to be better. Keep your composure whenever you engage with the police. Just live to fight another day. So Ryan, thank you again for having me on the show. It's really been a pleasure.
Yo, the pleasure's been all ours here at Level Up with Ryan Hodge. We want to thank you for your insight, your time, and just being a part of the show today. Your time is valuable and we appreciate you being here. Well, we're going to steamroll right into the next guest of the show today. We got Kench back from last week. He's going to give us some insight on his interaction with the police and how he handled it. So let's get it going. All right, my man Kench, you're here, you're live. Spit at the team, yo. Let everybody out there hear something from you.
Yeah, what's going on? This is Kench, New Jersey born, New Jersey grown. First and foremost, I want to say thank you for having me back. I appreciate and I love what you're doing with this Level Up. You definitely got to get better. Please check out that Grown Man Thoughts Network on IG and YouTube. But yeah, police interaction. And I'm going to just say it here, before I even give my experience, I want to put this out there. I understand life is not fair, but you have to understand every situation that you're dealing with. And with the police, there's a certain tension that has always been present. Whether that's fair or not, it's there. And when you are out being pulled over and you know that tension is there, there's certain things you need to do to make sure that you're going to make your home safe, because that's the end result of this. And I just want to start it off like that so you understand my viewpoint, because a lot of people might think I'm being soft or I'm being a punk, but I'm just trying to get home. But I know the worst experience for me is the police. Unfortunately, there's been several because of my color and how I look. I'm not the smallest person. I look pretty intimidating. But one of the worst ones in my life is in 2015, I bought a house, moved to Union, New Jersey. And as I'm coming home, I turn at the light for my house and I see a police in the corner. So I'm definitely seatbelt on, slow down, making sure I don't want to get pulled over. As I pass him, there's nothing he could pull me over for, but I see him pull out and follow me into the parking lot. So I turn to my parking lot, which is a complex of a townhouse.
Okay.
As I'm getting out my car, parked in my driveway, he flashes the light on the horn, get back in the car, I'm pulling you over. I'm already a little discombobulated, but I get back into the car. He steps over to the car and is like, license registration. The issue with that is I had just bought the house. My license had my old address, which is at Roselle. So he proceeds to tell me that since my address is not meshed, I need to step out of the car so he can search me and the car. Obviously, I immediately declined that because it's not legitimate. But the issue was I felt intimidated because he was a little tense, had his hand on his waist near his gun. So at that point, I was like, you know what? I need to be able to walk in my house. So I got back into the car, showed him my registration. As I'm reaching for my registration, I asked him, could I reach for it? And I let him know where my driver's license was because it's in my wallet. So I didn't want him to think I was reaching out for anything behind me.
Right.
So after I did that, I took the keys out of the ashtray because it's a push button. I mean, the cup holder. And I actually put them on the roof. And he's like, why did you do that? I was like, I want you to make sure you know I think I'm not running or have a problem. And at this point, he tells me that he has to call my license into the station. So he literally calls them in to look and see if I just closed on a mortgage. So I think that was a little extreme. Luckily, in this case situation, I have a neighbor that happened to be walking by. And he stepped up to the officer and asked him what was going on. And he happened to know a pretty high-ranking officer in the Union Police Department, the police chief, I think. So they had a quick conversation, as only fellow Caucasians can. And the officer came over, gave my license back, and told me I need to hurry up and get it fixed because it could have been a problem. And leave. To me, that might not seem that bad to everybody else, but to me, finally getting to buy a house in a neighborhood that you want to be, and him letting you know that you're not welcome, had to be one of the worst police interactions of my life. And that's just something that, you know, you got to deal with as a black man in America.
Word. So let me ask you this. So do you think that because you had everything in order from what you're saying, so what's your take on the whole situation, what happened that night?
I was absolutely racially profiled. Without a doubt in my mind, it's a fact. As I told you, I turned at the light, seatbelt was on, speed limit, registration paperwork all together. He proceeded to follow me for 2 blocks inside my complex, waited till I parked to pull me over and flash the lights, which I thought was more of a being an embarrassment that letting me know that I'm not welcome in that area of that neighborhood. So definitely pissed. But the way I handled it, and luckily I had a neighbor that cared and came out, I had to de-escalate the situation because I wanted to make it home that night.
Right. And see, I'm glad you used that word de-escalation, because one thing I spoke about when I first opened the segment was about de-escalation, not making the situation worse than what it can be. So, and you said another good point that I agree with, and I mentioned earlier, it's all about getting home. There's no ego on the side of the road, because again, these jokers, they have the upper hand on the side of the road. So there is really no need to get combative. Another thing you said that caught my ear was when you said the cop had you get out the car. Now, in your estimation, there was no real reason for you to get out the car. And I had a similar situation like that where I actually was talking to the cop a little bit too much, and I told him I don't drink. Now, you know, like I do in 2021, 2010, whatever year it was, telling somebody you don't drink, they normally don't believe you. And I believe the cop didn't as well. So he actually had me get out of the car and come to the back of the car so he could explain a seatbelt ticket to me. Now, I'm not an aficionado on police rules, but to explain a seatbelt ticket at the back of the car says to me that you really just wanted me to get out of the car, because he probably thought I was drinking.
Yo, that's another thing I want to say. Well, a lot of people don't realize, when you're an officer, when you do a job, whatever you do, you can be a cable man, you can be a grocery store clerk, you treat people based on how they treat you. So I understand an officer is supposed to uphold the law and be the best he can be. But listen, if you give them attitude, they're going to give you attitude back. And unfortunately, when humans have the way to exercise power over you, which an officer does, they will do that. So whether or not it being fair or not, you need to do what you need to do to get home safely. So yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. No problem. Can I? May I? Those are the words that should be used in a police pullover situation.
I couldn't agree more with you, because in the last segment, I spoke about how when somebody in just regular everyday living, if they meet you with hostility, guess what you're going to do? You're going to bust back at them with the same hostility. So it's no different than anything else as it is on the side of the road. You're going to be met with hostility if you give the cop hostility. And unfortunately, oftentimes the cop meets the person he's pulling over with hostility. And if you give it back to him, I promise you, like we're saying, he's going to call more units because he's going to feel like he needs backup. Yo, Kent, I got another question for you. So you've clearly had interactions with the police on the side of the road or wherever you want to call it. So my question to you is, since you've obviously made it out of there unscathed, what pointers do you give to somebody going forward that may help them get out of a situation like that unscathed, unharmed, and safe?
You have to remember, respect begets respect. We're human beings. I don't even care if the officer approaches you very hostile. You have to maintain your calm, your cool, and make it home. Whatever orders they give you, as long as they're lawful and respectful, you need to follow it. Use yes, sir, yes, ma'am, as I mentioned before. Speak to them the way you want to be spoken to. That is the first thing. Secondly, as a black male, you must understand, no sudden movements, do not reach for anything. And we have a tendency to talk slick. Let's just be honest with ourselves. We are alpha males and we're very aggressive. Sometimes you just got to swallow your pride and just let that go. Because at the end of the day, that can get you out of the ticket. And I don't know if I had no time, but I want to give an example of when I handled something wrong, how it could have been ugly, because you got to get both sides of the story. It's about leveling up.
Definitely. All right, we're going to get it.
One time I was in my early 20s. Officer pulled over my brother, and I knew when I went through the light that it was green, so there's no way my brother ran a light. I pulled over also in front of the officer. As he's pulling my brother over, I jumped out of the car and approached the car and the officer. This officer, more importantly, de-escalated the situation on myself, told me what I was doing wrong, told me what he could have done to me, and sent me on my way. It's very funny. After that, I received a ticket in the mail for disorderly conduct, and I had to pay a very hefty price for that. So I just want to show the two differences between when you handle it the right way and when you handle it the wrong way.
Word. It's important that we get both sides, especially on this platform, because we get both sides on social media after somebody did something the wrong way. And sometimes the cop does something the wrong way, and sometimes it's the person getting pulled over that does something the wrong way. So it's good. So what do you think you did wrong in that situation?
Yo, come on, I'm a dummy. I jumped out of the car and approached a police officer, angrily swinging my hands. I could have been shot easily and dead. Luckily, this officer was a good one, because I don't want to paint the picture that every officer is bad. I have officers that have helped me and have been of a different race. Black, Caucasian, Spanish, whatever it is. I don't see color. I see actions. And when those actions are correct, just like you got good people and bad people, you have good officers and bad officers. I don't think all officers should be judged by the actions of the ones that those are bad. But to make sure we come home, we need to follow those directions and make sure we de-escalate in every situation, swallow our ego, and get home to your mother, brother, father, sisters, and children.
Yo, I'm glad you said that, because it's the truth. People we meet in our everyday lives don't always mean us the best. Sometimes they're out to harm us, steal from us, take from us, whatever you want to call it. But everybody we meet doesn't mean it's the best. And I'm glad you said something else. This conversation we're having about police interaction is not to paint all police officers like they're bad, because they're not. They do great things in the community. I work in the school system, and I mean, the SROs, which is school resource officers, they often do a great job with interacting with the students at the school. So it's definitely not all police officers, not at all.
Yo, I got another great example. We're talking about leveling up and giving both sides of the story. I used to live in North, very hood section of North 11th, right between 18th and I think Park Ave. One night, my apartment caught on fire, literally. Fire, mattresses falling through the window, kids running through the steps, running downstairs. So I finally made it outside myself, and I was pretty lucky myself to get outside. As I'm out there, I see the top of the house burning. So it was a three-level apartment building. Mm-hmm. The third floor, entire floor is on fire. Everybody's out. There's a little boy inside trying to come down to the second floor, but he's stuck and he's scared. Officer immediately ran through a metal gate, kicked in the door, ran up the steps, yelled, screamed for the little boy's name, and brought him outside safe. Those are a lot of things that we don't tell. And the part why I'm saying that, he was a Caucasian officer. And for most people in that community, you're going to think, oh, they don't like us, they don't care. Nah, it's a human factor. He saw someone in trouble, heard some screams, ran into that building and saved that little boy and brought him to his mother. Wow. That's another reason why
I'm never disrespecting anybody. So let me, I hate to cut you off, but you said the cop brought the kid to his mother. Where was the mother at when the baby or the boy or whatever was in the house, if you know?
Bruh, she was already outside. She was already on her horse through the gate, down the steps, gone. That's why I give a lot more props to that officer, because the mother didn't even go back and get him. And I'm not putting nothing bad on her. I'm just saying she heard the boy scream in the house.
So you saying the mom Dukes was outside the crib while her son was in the house, and the white cop went and got the baby out?
Yeah.
How old do you think this kid was? I'm sorry to call him a baby.
I want to say 6 or 7. Me playing by memory, talking about it's over 20 years ago, but he was 6 or 7. He was small enough to run, but not big enough to understand what was going on.
Unbelievable. So again, that just plays into what we just said. I mean, not all cops are bad people. They're doing great things out here, saving people from burning buildings and all sorts of other great stuff in the community. All right, once again, this is Level Up, man, and we out here just dropping knowledge. So I often talk about how people often speak about problems but don't talk about solutions. It's not enough to complain about police brutality and not have a solution for it. It doesn't make it go away, and it doesn't help the situation become better. So it's like this. If somebody was getting robbed in a dark alley, what would you do? Would you tell a person to walk down the dark alley again just because they shouldn't get robbed in the dark alley? Or would you give them some sort of training when it pertains to that dark alley? Don't go down the dark alley. If you do go down the dark alley, maybe have certain things in place. So again, that's all we're here for. We're leveling up, trying to get better and be better every day. Hey, Kench, man, we appreciate you being on the show, man. I'm going to let you go. Thanks again, and hope to have you on the show again soon.
True that. appreciate it. Level up. I love being here. Hopefully I'll be back next week and whatever week you got going on. Please check your boy out on Grown Man Thoughts Network on IG and Grown Man Thoughts Network on YouTube. Definitely trying to get it going. But I appreciate being here and love what you're doing on the show. Level up.
All right, man. And until next time, we appreciate you. Just to close out the show, I want to say, remember this. Be safe. Think about what that means if you're being safe. The ultimate goal when you interact with anybody is to be safe, get home safely to your family, your people who love you. You don't need to be a cowboy on the side of the road or wherever else. Get home safe. Don't be hostile. Don't be combative. Be compliant. And it may just save your life. Again, this is Level Up with Ryan Hodge. Hey, the show's a wrap for today. We did what we came to do. It's over. Hey, but before we get out of here completely, I want to thank Mel for dropping those jewels on us earlier. Also, I want to thank Kench for dropping those jewels on us, too. Hey, before we go also, I want to thank Hindsight Media Radio for putting this all together. Also, I need you to log on to RyanHodgeBooks.com for all your reading needs. Hey, check out the site. You might see something you like. Hey, you might see something that one of your friends may like. Send them the link. Either way, do that for me. Once again, this has been Level Up with Ryan Hodge. Later.